that water, please. Just thank you so much. And so we've dealt with different problems so far, but we have a whole list to go through. We probably won't be done until next spring, to be honest with you. And I want to make sure I step on everyone's problems. Amen? Thank you, Liz. Anyway, so the idea is you don't solve the problem by putting Band-Aids on things if it needs surgery. You don't just clean the window if it's cracked. It needs to be fixed. And if your car is shimmering at different speeds, you need probably an alignment or a balancing and find out, you know, what's wrong so you can get it balanced, get it fixed. And these are things that lots of times we dismiss in our lives because we say, you know what, I've got too many problems to deal with. But if you don't take care of the small things, it's the small things that make the big things go. Now, some of you guys have worked on cars before. You know the detailed pieces of a car. Sometimes a screw, sometimes the bolt. It's a little thing, but you lose that, you may lose your engine. I remember years ago, we were dirt poor in Grand Forks, and a friend of mine, bless his heart, came over to fix our washing machine. When I tell you, I'm not exaggerating. He goes down to my basement. You know, there's only so much I'm interested in bolts and nuts and all that stuff. So I said, hey, Joe, I'll be upstairs. Can I get you anything to drink? So, you know. So anyway, I came downstairs a few minutes later, and he said, I just need about 15 more minutes. I'll be done. I said, oh, great. Go back upstairs, and I go downstairs in 15 minutes. He said, she's brand new. I said, okay. Beloved, I'm not exaggerating to tell you this. That round, about that high of nuts and bolts. Now, if you know business, business is not going to waste things. They don't say, let's put, 100 different other things in this washing machine because it was just extra laying around. Let's just do it. They don't. They don't want to spend any money. But I said, where do those things go? So he said, oh, you didn't need those. I don't know. Would it last a year, Liz? I don't know. I don't even know if it lasted a year. I think it left us or something. I don't know. But the thing is this. He didn't take care of the little things. And it was practically a brand new washing machine or a couple of years old. It wasn't that old. And he just left it as is. Now, beloved, I want to tell you that life is taking care of the details. I'm telling you, that's so important in life. It's important in the husband-wife relationship and in raising children. It's the little things that make the big things go. So in Deuteronomy, let's turn there now. I'm sorry, Exodus chapter 20. And notice, if you would, these are the Ten Commandments. We'll pick it up here in verse 16 for time's sake. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, I'm amazed at the lying that goes on in society. I'm just amazed. Now, what do they call it when politicians lie? They're spinning it, right? They're spinning the problem. They're spinning the answer, which is outrageous. Why would you have a guy getting paid what they do to represent us and lie? But that's society. But we see it in religion. We see it in politics. We see it in religion. We see it in schools. I mean, honestly, to teach evolution, that's a lie. Out and out lie. To revive history, out and out lie. And then you find in Norton, you find in the workplace, find in schools, but you find in the home. You find in individuals. But it has no place in our lives. The Bible has plenty of verses. We're going to try to get to many of them as possible tonight. But again, verse 16, the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, this commandment is repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 20. And the punishment is spoken of in Deuteronomy 19, 16 through verse 21. And it speaks about death, speaks about being put to death, all these different things. You say, isn't that a little bit, harsh or something like that? Well, he wouldn't lie anymore, I'll tell you that much. I'm not advocating death for lying, but I am saying is this, there ought to be a punishment. If you are a liar, I don't care what you think or what you say, you cannot be trusted. Right? Now, Brother Peter, I know you're not a liar, but I'm talking to him. He tells me, oh, yeah, you know, I know how to fly a jet. Now, do you know how to fly a jet? All right. You watch the jets crash a lot on Sundays, but you don't know how to fly a jet, right? So next thing you know, I said, oh, wow, how long have you been flying? Oh, for years. Yeah. So you have a license? Oh, yeah. So could I see it? I left it at home. I grew up with a kid. I'll just say his name is Kevin. He lied about everything. And everything he lied about, you know what he said? It's at my cousin's house. He did. He had a motorbike, he had drums, he had a guitar, he had, you name it, it was at his cousin's house. So I said, why don't you have it here? Oh, we bought it there and we just left it there. Never made sense to me, but he was a liar. And later on in life, he got involved with all sorts of problems, drugs. He wound up losing one of his limbs because he was high and fell off it. You know that plate on the railroad where it says, please watch your step, there's a distance? That was because of him. Anytime he's thinking, just think of Kevin, because he lied. He lied about everything. And a terrible, terrible life. He may be in eternity right now. But the idea is this, is that we want to communicate. When I communicate honestly, the tongue can be such a blessing. You know that. You know you've blessed people with your tongue by kind words, nice words, sweet words, edifying words, uplifting words. And then your tongue has also cut people. We don't want to be that way. We do not want to be that way. So people need to learn how to control the tongue. And with some people, it takes a lifetime. They still have victory over it. But the Bible says the divine standard for us is the truth. We're to speak the truth in love. The truth at all cost. It is God's very nature. Psalm 31:5, a God of truth. Titus 1:2, speaking about the Lord, he cannot lie. John 1:14, speaking of Christ, full of grace and truth. God's Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. Speaking of God's Spirit guides us into all truth. Psalm 25:10, all the paths of the Lord are truth. Psalm 33:4, all his works are done in truth. Truth is God's very nature. Jesus said, I am the truth. In Proverbs 12, verse 22, listen to this verse now. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But they that deal truly are his delight. So one epitaph said this, just below the slab of gray lies Elibaba Young, who at the 24th of May began to hold her tongue. So the idea is this, the tongue is a fire. Brother Ingstead has preached on this in Sunday school. It's a world of iniquity. So is the tongue, where the Bible says, among our members that defileth the whole body and set on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Now, you know, Pole State, there's a book came out years ago, not maybe 10 years at the most, Pole State that 91% of Americans lie. That's terrible. It's terrible that our countrymen, maybe some of us, lie. 50% daily. Another 31% weekly. 20% daily and 31% weekly. It's so important to believe in your heart that the best policy is honesty. I say, preacher, I'm in business. I got to lie. Well, that is a twisted view. I don't care if you're in business. Don't you fear God? What does the Bible say? All good gifts come from your heart. All good gifts come from hell. What does the Bible say? All good gifts come where? From above. Now, if Jesus is not the Lord of your business, you're on the wrong business. There's no excuse to lie. So it's important to tell the truth. Now, we see the divine standard, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And there's so many verses that we can look at, but you get the gist from the other verse I shared with you. Consider what the Lord said in James chapter 3. And let's turn there quickly. Put a marker in Exodus 20 and notice James chapter 3. All right. James chapter 3. And then notice, if you would please, James 3 and verse 3. The Bible says, "Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they see and be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm. And whithersoever the governor listeth, even the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Now, when you think about the horse, now there are some people who ride horses in our church. Anyone want to testify to that the bit is so important in turning that horse around or stopping the horse? Anyone here? Go ahead, say something, Justin. I'm sorry? What if you didn't have the bit in the mouth? Good slap in the head? I hope you other horse riders saw this. But really, the bit is so important. Yeah. Because it's in a sensitive part. Yeah. And it controls the horse. And that's important to have. So we see here in verse 4, the rudder on a ship. So you have this big ship, and what do you have? A rudder with it. And the rudder's small, but it controls that ship. And then the tongue is also small compared to the body, but it's mighty for the it prohibits a false testimony if you're honest. It also, causes the body to cease from slander, from tale-bearing, from insinuation, from flattery, from exaggeration, silence. So we see the divine standard, which is truth. Second of all, the devastating sin. Now, one preacher said, he's a commentator also, Pastor Starks, he said that this, he said this about the devastating sin. If you think about Matthew chapter 7. Think about this. Many will say on that day, "Lord, Lord, I've prophesied in thy name. In thy name I've cast out devils. In thy name I've done many wonderful works." That's what he speaks to God. And here's what the truth says to him. "Depart from me. I never knew you, you that work iniquity." So, it's so important to say or speak the truth. You have to. You say, "Well, I've been a liar most of my life." Well, that's a shame. It's a shame. When I was a kid, I lied. I mean, when I was a young kid, I lied. And one time I was in Mrs. Browning's class, and she had to be pushing 75. And Mrs. Browning was a very nice lady. She was short. I'm telling you, she wasn't that tall. 75, and she was a big woman. She had more whiskers than I have today. So she called me up after I failed a spelling test, and she questioned my mother's signature. So there was young Einstein standing next to her. And she said, "John," she said, "is this your mother's signature?" "Yeah, Maureen Graff." "Oh, doesn't look like her signature." She said, "I hope that she signed it." I said, "Who else would sign it?" So what Einstein did the day before, my mom ran to the store and I got out the old tax returns. Here I am in fourth grade. So how old is that? 9. Yeah. And I never knew how to do cursive. So I'm printing or trying to do cursive. And I'm writing Maureen. I didn't know how to spell the name. Maureen Graff. So I got home from school. Mom said, "How was your day?" I said, "Oh, fine." "Is there anything that I need to sign?" I said, "How'd she find out?" Next thing you know, there I was, 9 years old. No, 8 years old maybe. I skipped kindergarten. My father used to call me Sonny because I was so bright. And so there I was standing in front of my mother. She said, "Let me see that paper." The paper. Oh, where was that thing? I'm looking around trying to kill time, hoping, who knows. And the next thing I pulled out, she looked at it. And then she had her tax returns. She lined it up. And one looked like my mother's signature. The other one looked like my dog, Beauty. That she kind of put a pen between a paw and just wrote her name out. So I got in big trouble. And I probably didn't stop lying until I was 13 or 14, maybe at the most. But what a terrible thing. to be a liar. I thank the Lord I'm not that way. I mean, God saved me from it and changed my life. And you don't have to continue in it. You don't want to be that way. Now, the Bible says, again, that the design of speech, this is third of all, is to speak the truth in love, is to edify, is to bless, is to express love, is to give thanksgiving, is to praise. There's so many verses on praise in the book of Psalms, let alone the other books. There's, again, the importance of contending for the faith, encouraging someone, preaching the word, praying, asking God for wisdom. Someone asked me recently, they said, you know, would you pray that God would give us wisdom? I said, He promised to give to all men liberally if you ask. I said, Proverbs chapter 3, God says, trust the Lord with all thy heart and all thy heart, lean not to thy own ways and all thy ways, acknowledge Him, He shall direct thee. He shall. That's a promise. That's your desire. God's going to give you wisdom. Now, let me just talk to you for a little bit about lying, because there's so many different forms of it. And I'm going to go as fast as you can hear. In Leviticus 19:11, you shall not deal falsely, neither lie one to another. Pretty plain. What do you think that means? Anyone want to answer that? Thank you, Marcus. Don't lie. And especially don't lie to one another. Don't lie to yourself. Proverbs 14:5, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Proverbs 19:5, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. The Bible says that six things that God hates, seven are an abomination. And you think the last on the list is two things, the same, a lying tongue and a false witness that speaketh lies. God hates that. It's an abomination. We should not even consider it in our lives. Well, I shouldn't have done what I did. I'm going to get in big trouble. Well, then learn not to do it. Wouldn't that be better than becoming a liar and continuing to cover up your stories? So it's very clear that this commandment includes more than perjury. It has to do with lying, either about someone or to someone. And you have to ask the question, what is a lie? So there's three elements in lies. Speak what is not true, speak it deliberately, and with the intent to deceive. You don't want to be a deceiver. I mean, that's what the devil is. He deceiveth the whole world. You're not following Christ. You're not a Christian liar, a Christ-like liar. So lying is evidence of an unregenerate heart and an unsaved person. It's the old man. It's not the new creature that God created in salvation. Lying associates one with Satan. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of thy father you will do. There's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he's a liar and the father of it. Lying is a symptom of depravity. I'm not saying if you told a lie, you're lost. I lied when I was saved a few times. You know, I know I lied to my landlord a few times. It's in the mail. Then I wrote it and stuck it in the mail. But, you know, these things happen. But you want to abstain from it. And I have to tell you, it's been years. It's so nice to live without looking over your shoulder, wondering who's going to find out, what they're going to say. Don't live that way. And then also you find where it speaks about lying. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, listen to this now. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So when you think about lying, it goes against the attribute of God. God is a God of truth. It's one of his attributes. God's intense concern for truth is centered in his nature. He cannot lie. He is a God of truth who cannot lie. Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. I mentioned that already. For us to be on the side of truth and the matter of fellowship with God, we cannot lie. We've got to speak the truth. And then Proverbs 13:5 says, the righteous man hates lying. So nowhere in the scriptures God grant an exemption from these commandments. They are absolute. Think about Rahab lied to protect Israel's spies. But remember this, that God said that she was a pagan in her youth and unaware of God's law. And I can tell you this much, just like she didn't continue being a harlot, she didn't continue lying. She didn't continue lying. Then there's deceit. You have lying, you have deceit. And deceit is different than lying, but it's every bit as sinful. And you can speak words that are true, but the totalitarian of which may be deceitful and misleading. It's amazing how facts can be arranged to manipulate. The tremendous power of deceit is demonstrated in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Satan spoke to Eve in a way that deceived her into thinking wrongly about God, and how God was so restrictive, and like he kept truth from her, which was so far from the truth. So we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be deceitful. We want to be like the Lord. We want to be transparent. That's the best way to live, beloved. Do right and speak right. Do right and speak right. And so, again, you've heard this before, the need for truth in advertising, truth in lending, truth in testimony. The other day I was watching TV, and I'm telling you, I don't know what it was. It was a car commercial or something. Then they flashed on these words. It couldn't have been that big. And it flashed on. It was on there 3 seconds. I said, who's going to read that? So sure enough, they flashed on. That wasn't truthful. Well, you don't stand preach. It's really expensive to be on TV. All right. But if you go to the expense and you want to be honest, put it up there in part of the commercial. How many winding roads do you have to see about the car? Then there's rumors, gossip, and slander. And rumors are capable of destroying lives. Let's see. Someone told my wife about a week or two ago about gossip. She'll never forget the story. She was a young girl, and someone had heard about it. Gossip that was said about her. She took her own life. Now, it's an unstable home, no doubt. It was an unstable life. But I heard a preacher doing that. Out and out lie. He couldn't take any, and he took his life. Well, that is so evil. So evil. To make me, because you know how people are going to act or react. So rumors are capable of destroying lives. And you think about this. We're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. Isn't that what our law is saying? Lots of times people find people guilty just because they heard something. And check out the story. I've preached on this so many times over the years. It's still amazing how spiritually ignorant people are. Sitting in a church for years and they still right away take sides of them instead of hearing both sides. So important, beloved. Well, my daughter came home and she was at this party and blah, blah, blah. Hey, find out the story. So I appreciate you. Anything else you want to add to the story? No, Mommy. Okay. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to call brother, daddy called brother so-and-so, or I'm going to call Mrs. so-and-so and find out. Right? Well, my son never lies. Well, you're foolish. You're foolish, I'm telling you. Tell me you never lied. They come forth from the womb lying, the Bible says. So it's always good to find out both sides. You're in a management position, find out both sides. Don't jump to one side. One of the things that make rumors so devastating, whether true or false, is that they are irretrievable. Slanderous words are impossible to retrieve. Spiritually, many who have sinned and find out later, they could have full forgiveness because of slander, lies, whatever it may be, they wind up, just messing up their lives. So this is unacceptable. Gossip and slander feed on our natural and self orientation in at least 6 ways. Listen closely. Why do people gossip or listen to gossip? Curiosity. It's almost like to listen to news just because of our old natural curiosity. Obviously, curiosity can be constructive, yet curiosity plays into the scheme of seeking and bearing and disseminating harmful information. That, look, if I told you some of the stories my family doesn't know, no one in the church knows, that people have told me, I just keep my mouth shut. It's not necessary. You don't want to be that way. You want to know the truth. Second of all, people will, with time, on their hands are prone to be malicious in their speech. They're idle, wandering about from house to house. It's not helping that person out. I'll guarantee you people like that don't even pray for them. Now they'll add that, Lord, help them. I got to tell you that so-and-so. Gossip. And then third of all, it's a desire to be the center of attention. Often is the impudence for slander or gossip. It captures attention and say, did you hear? Or did you know? And next thing you know, they go on and tell this juicy story about brother or sister so-and-so. And they don't pray. You know, just tell the story and run. I think even worse than that is that they tell their children. Well, the children tell their parents. And it's a bunch of, it's a gossip fest. I'm telling you, it's evil. God hates it. He calls it an abomination. You have no business doing that. No business. Now your child has a wrong opinion, a wrong thought about brother so-and-so or that family or that wife or that child. Let me just ask you. I got to ask this question. Just keep your hands up. I want to check it out. How many have never sinned before? Just raise your hand and hold up high. You've never sinned. Nice and high. You've never sinned before. Okay. How many have sinned before? So none of us are qualified. That's good, Bill. Bill had two hands up. So none of us are qualified to talk about anyone else. That's called hypocrisy. It's called hypocrisy. And it's damaging because people form their opinions about these things. I'm telling you, it happens so many times. It happens in churches, it happens in offices, neighborhoods. It's evil. And that's what the Bible calls an abomination. God hates it. And then we find that it can spawn up by bitterness and jealousy. That's why some people gossip. They don't like the person. So they want to find something they can say about that person and run them down. People have done that to my family before. I've been in ministry a long time. Years ago, people say something, you know, they couldn't get to me. They didn't have the backbone to even confront me. But they'll run down my kids. That's okay. I can tell you some stories, which I'm not going to, of people who did that. And you ought to see their family today. It's a train wreck. It qualifies for a, what do you call those shows on TLC? Reality show. Now, I'm just telling you, they're disasters. Well, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Sixth of all, we're prone to speak of negative things because it soothes our anxieties. You know, misery loves company. And we're not to be that way. We're to be separate from that. We're to be apart from that. And that brings us to our last thoughts here. The importance of our word and line up with the word of God and making sure that we are not gossiping or slandering the people of God, let alone lost people. Now, let me give you a couple of thoughts as we close. So you say, what can we do with damaging information? So the person comes to you and they say, I got to tell you what's going on in the church. Okay. So first thing I would do in this is say, hold on a second. Have you talked to that person yet? No. So we're wanting to go talk. We'll call them up right here. We'll do a three-way on the phone. Now, how many think that would be the right thing to do? Say amen. I love you all. It'd be the right thing. How many think that would go forward and that people would actually make the phone call and say, I want to tell you, I'm going to tell Brother So-and-so here what I heard about you. Now, you know it's going to stop right there. It's going to stop right there. Second of all, I think it's important to talk to God about these things. In all sincerity. The Bible says this in Galatians Well, let's turn over there right now. We're going to be there a few different times even before we close. So Galatians chapter, I think it's 6. And brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore him, such a one, the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So how important it is to, you know, realize that person fell, that they're in need. That could be me. I'm gonna be a blessing to them. I'm not going to sit there and say, brother, I want to come over to help you. I know there's some problems. Oh, yeah, brother, I've got some problems, and so on and so forth. What are they? You don't do that. Why do you want to know the gory details? You know, I stopped a long time ago when people wanted to tell me about some sin they did or some problem, you know, in their life. I don't have to hear that. I understand. You don't have to go in detail. But the thing is this, is that you need to bring it to God. Who else is going to help them? You may give some good counsel, but you want God to help them. Amen? And then also, remember, confront the messenger and the one who has spoken about this. I kind of mentioned that a little bit before. And then seek to protect the victim of slander. Right? Now notice Galatians 5. And notice, please, verse 12. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this. He says in verse 12 and 13, he said, I would that, let me see, is that right? Galatians 5? Yeah, that's right. So I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now watch this. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Walk in the Spirit, and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Bite and devour. Those are the terms that Paul used. I know this for a fact. I heard it from the preacher. I heard it from the woman who did it in another church. The woman was so angry at the pastor that she got close to him and she bit him right in the face. He had to have stitches and some surgery and plastic surgery and so on. That's such a thing. And you say, well, is she saved? Well, you tell me. I wouldn't want to go to heaven with her. You know, well, she is if she's in heaven, she wouldn't do it. But you don't want that. Amen? That's so ungodly. And then Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, I said to the preacher, I said, what'd you do? I never heard anything like this. I came out of a real good church. Ours is even, you know, praise the Lord, even a better, you know, church in that way, more advanced maybe. But he said, I told her to stop. I'm thinking, okay, stop. Stop. I would have said, are you okay? You just see women fall like that. I have someone biting on my face. And how embarrassing would it be after she beat you? What do you have on? Yeah. Anyway, so chapter 4, verse 15, we'll close. But speaking the truth in love, it grew up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So how important it is to, you know, speak, to seek to protect the victim of slander. And as the Bible says here very plainly in verse 15, so truth and love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So how important it is, beloved, that, and I know there are people with problems like that in our church. They lie. I'm not talking about little kids, although some of them do it, some teenagers. I'm talking about full-grown people. And that's so elementary. It's so juvenile. Well, my wife would be so mad at me if she knew that I stayed and watched, you know, played another game of, I don't know what the games are today, but RoboCop or, you know, I'd been over there for 9 hours and she wanted me home and didn't have the heart to tell her. So I told her I got a flat tire and made a lie up. And shame on you for playing a game like that, for such a long period of time, and then lie to your wife about it. This is high school stuff, beloved. It needs to be put away from you. You know how you put it away from you? Repent. Repent. If you continue in lying that you have and you are and you will, all liars. All liars shall have a part in the lake, a lake of fire burns with. Anyway, you get the verse. It's Revelation 21:7. You don't want that. There's no exemption there. Oh, I know. You went to Long Baptist. You're fine. No, sir. No, ma'am. It needs to be repented tonight. If you're saved, if you're not saved, you need to be saved. You're in a dangerous position. I trust you'll come to Christ. If you are saved, I trust you'll come. So, preacher, if I go forward, everyone's going to know I'm a liar. How do they know? They don't know that. Well, what do they speculate? Well, what? Then they're just as guilty. They ought to join you on the altar. But humble yourself and make things right with God. Be saved. Fortunately. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this people. Thank you for the Word of God. So much in the Bible about truth. About lying. Help us all, Father, speak the truth in love. Help us to be careful with our lives. To watch what we say. And always speak the truth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one look around. If you want to stand, that's fine. We appreciate that. And do God's will for your life tonight. Don't make excuses, whatever you do.